Welcome to another episode of the Oncology on the Go podcast. I'm your host, Russ Conroy. Dr. Marwan Faqih from City of Hope Comprehensive Cancer Center spoke about the FDA approval of sotorasib plus panitumumab for patients with KRAS G12C mutated metastatic colorectal cancer. He highlighted how the combination may offer improvements in outcomes such as progression-free survival over prior standards of care based on data from the Phase 3 CodeBreaK 300 trial, and described other developments in the gastrointestinal cancer space that may impact the treatment field in the future.
What does the FDA approval of sotorasib in combination with panitumumab mean for patients with chemo-refractory KRAS G12C mutated metastatic colorectal cancer?
Yeah, the approval of sotorasib in combination with panitumumab is really a welcomed step for this patient population. KRAS G12C mutated colorectal cancer affects about 4% of patients with metastatic colorectal cancer. Those individuals have, unfortunately, limited options beyond the first two lines of treatment. Typically, they receive a fluoropyrimidine, such as 5-FU or capecitabine, oxaliplatin and irinotecan and bevacizumab within their first two lines of treatment or even in their first line altogether. Following that, our options of care were limited to trifluridine as well as regorafenib at the time of the conduct of the CodeBreaK trial. And both of these agents have limited effectiveness. Response rates are less than 5%. Approximately half the patients progress by the 2 months mark, and the impact on survival, while positive, is quite limited. Now, since this study has been performed, another two options have been available, and those include fruquintinib as well as trifluridine bevacizumab as FDA-approved treatments for patients with metastatic colorectal cancer, including KRAS G12C. But we recognize that even with those treatments, still the overall response rate is 6% or less. There still is a need for novel treatments. The sotorasib panitumumab reflects a targeted therapy for KRAS G12C, and the CodeBreaK trial shows conclusively the positive impact on progression-free survival. The updated data showed a median progression-free survival of 5.7 months, which was superior to trifluridine or regorafenib on the standard of care arm, which was 2 months from this study. That was the primary endpoint of this study, and clearly more than doubling the time to progression in patients with metastatic colorectal cancer. There was a strong trend towards improvement in overall survival. The study was a small phase 3 trial, so it was not really powered to statistically confirm superiority from the overall survival. But I think as important, it means that you're more likely to see responses. 30% of patients will have an objective response with this combination, which is really higher than what you would expect with second-line treatment. This combination is approved more of a third-line setting. But 30% is not a response rate we see with second-line chemotherapy with metastatic KRAS-mutated colorectal cancer, which means that this may palliate the symptoms related to metastatic disease as well, not just prolong the time to progression, the progression-free survival, but also reduce the burden of disease in patients, which ultimately has a positive impact on their longevity. So I think the FDA approval provides easier access, more visibility to the combination, ability to discuss it more with providers, and most important, improvement in outcome and survival of our patients with KRAS G12C mutation.
I see. Thank you for breaking all that down. Now for my next question, just speaking from your own perspective, how would you implement this treatment into your own clinical practice?
Yeah, this is an excellent question. Data may even have implications on second-line therapy, frankly, in this setting. Now we have a combination therapy that, as I said earlier, has a very favorable overall response rate, which appears to be even higher than one would expect historically with FOLFIRI bevacizumab in the second-line setting after progressing on FOLFOX bevacizumab in the first line and vice versa. This is a discussion that I would have with patients. This is a easier regimen than systemic chemotherapy, has more favorable side effect profile, and perhaps it's more appropriate even to think about it in the second line treatment of our patients with KRAS G12C, avoid chemo-related toxicity, And really leave the FOLFIRI and Avastin or FOLFOX-Avastin second line, which depends on what first line they receive, the third line treatment. So that is an area of consideration. CodeBreaK clearly cements this regimen as a third line treatment, but opens the door for consideration for second line treatment as well based on the efficacy data.
You've brought it up a couple of times, but you were the lead investigator of the CodeBreaK 300 trial, which supported the FDA's approval of this regimen. Was there anything else from your research that affirms the clinical utility of this combination?
I think it's really the primary endpoint, which is PFS. And I think the good thing is that the CodeBreaK 300 really replicates prior phase two data that we had in this particular setting. I think the importance of the CodeBreaK 300 is that it also looks at two different doses of sotorasib. So it puts the issue to rest that the 960 milligrams should be used in favor of the 240. And the response rates were about 30% on the 960 milligrams daily sotorasib versus 7.5% for the 240 milligrams daily. CodeBreaK 300 confirms the dosage, not just confirms the combination. And hopefully that puts minds at ease as to what is the starting dose in this setting. As far as safety, I think the combination was quite safe. And most of the side effects were really related to the anti-EGFR therapy, panitumumab, with skin toxicity and electrolyte disturbances. But sotorasib itself has very minimal side effects, usually mild fatigue, mild elevations in LFTs, mild anemia.
I see. Thank you for discussing those. Looking ahead, are there any plans to further assess sotorasib and panitumumab in this patient population, or perhaps other diseases or areas as well?
KRAS G12C is a rare alteration. I mean, if we look at other GI malignancies, the frequency is even less than what we see in colorectal cancer. It's in the order of 1%, and which makes it really harder to proceed with combination therapy in a conclusive manner to compare that to monotherapy and others. The field now is moving to consolidate in CRC with this combination and to look at sotorasib panitumumab in earlier lines of treatment. A phase two clinical trial has evaluated the combination of FOLFIRI plus sotorasib and panitumumab in first-line treatment of KRAS G12C mutated patient, and that data was presented several months ago at ESMO in 2024. The response rate was very favorable, exceeding 70%, suggesting that there's potential synergy with chemotherapy with this combination. Similar data has shown also a favorable efficacy in pretreated patients with the combination chemotherapy, FOLFIRI, sotorasib, panitumumab. So I think the next step is the ongoing randomized phase three clinical trial in the first line setting, which is looking at FOLFIRI, bevacizumab versus FOLFIRI plus sotorasib and panitumumab to see if moving this combination earlier on in the management of metastatic colorectal cancer would even provide a bigger impact on the outcome.
Beyond this approval of sotorasib, the combination, are there any other developments in the GI cancer space that may impact the treatment field?
There's a lot of novel agents being under development, specifically a plethora of antibody drug conjugates that lead to a more concentrated administration of chemotherapy within tumors in a targeted fashion. Many of those studies are in phase one, phase two development. There are novel RAS inhibitors that are under investigation, some of them targeting KRAS G12D, and some of them targeting KRAS in general. The KRAS G12C space itself is crowded as well, with multiple agents being evaluated in that area. So we're all excited about the RAS inhibitors. And there's been development with immunotherapy, particularly with novel CTLA-4 inhibitors in combination with PD-1 or PD-L1 in microsatellite stable colorectal cancer. So I think the future is bright, and we're hoping that we will see more and more improvements for our patients.
Don't forget to subscribe to the Oncology On the Go podcast on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or anywhere podcasts are available, or listen online at cancernetwork.com/resources/podcasts. The Oncology On the Go podcast is the official podcast of cancernetwork.com, the home of the journal Oncology. For more information, visit us at cancernetwork.com and find us on Twitter at cancernetwork without the O, or on Facebook and LinkedIn at cancer-network.